This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, we good?
Yeah. I told you it would get louder when you started talking, so turn your stuff down a little bit.
Oh, I just turned it up way too loud?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Here. Coming your way from Oshkosh, WISS. And it
you
is
guys,
a-
you guys having some issues?
Yeah, we can't hear
anything. Okay. I'll work on that. You keep going.
But anyway, we're very pleased to have Nathan Olson here, Olson Legal Group, also the sponsor of Veteran Salute. And Nathan, it is great having you here. And thank you for your invitation to Oshkosh.
Well, thank you for having me. And please call me Nate. No one, unless I'm in trouble. So
all right.
I just got here, so hopefully I'm not in trouble already.
Not yet.
Nate, tell me what you said, Nate, to make Jim like ruin his morning.
Go ahead. My wife is listening, so she's very jealous. She said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you get to meet John Mino.
Yeah, so, hear that, Jim? Jim, you hear it? Oh, you have headphones? Want me to repeat it, Jim?
Or no. Not
you good?
We're good.
Yeah.
All right, Nate. Welcome. And thanks. I want to start out with that whole thank you for your service, because we really mean that.
Yeah.
And you hear that.
I appreciate that.
And it's really sincere. And some people say, well, it gets a little bit overused. What else are you going to say? You know, your service has been great. I mean, it's all the same thing. We're just very
grateful.
I agree.
You know, I still do it. I even tell people. I say, I was at that little liquor store in Alloway that I just love. That's for sale, by the way. That's another thing we need to look into buying.
Oh, hey, I got the price on Jill's. I went over there.
How much?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
$300,000. $865,000?
That's why we're not buying it.
Okay. Never mind.
Anyway.
Real estate must be included.
But anyway, and I went up to a guy and I said, I don't mean to sound cheesy or whatever, but thank you for your service. And I said to him, I wish there was some other term I could use because it sounds overused.
Yeah.
No, you know, I really don't know what to say when people say that too.
Right.
Because it's just something, not that it's a selfish thing we did, but it's, we all have our reasons. You know, every veteran has their story of why they did something. There is a selfless service aspect to it, but
you appreciate it.
Yeah, you very much. We appreciate it.
Okay,
but it's the least we can do.
And now you're a big time lawyer here in Oshkosh, so we'll get to that.
Just to back up on that, where that came from?
No,
that came from our country finally recognizing our Vietnam vets, where they were, you know, so downtrodden and ignored and whatever, that finally it got to the point of, oh my gosh, we're a bunch of idiots for the way we've treated you guys. And that's where thank you for your service first started. And it's carried on to you guys who are veterans.
Oh, and we've experienced a complete 180 from the Vietnam era.
Oh, yeah.
From what we've received when we were deployed. I mean, I still have chapstick.
But the
20-some years later that...
Vietnam vets helped lead that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that procession of, hey, nobody's going to have the terrible welcoming like we had. We're going to make sure every person, when they come back, they are given the respect and the gratitude they deserve.
Yeah, I think that's great what communities do. They do everything from even, you know, helmets to hard hats. There's a lot of programs, and I think we focus a little bit more. There's some veteran funding for startup businesses. And I just think we kind of get it why we're here. And it took a while, but we're getting there. You're an interesting guy. How long were you deployed? Tell us a little bit about that, but I want to talk more about your legal work.
Yeah, so I grew up just south in Fond du Lac, and then came up and did, I was the youngest in my family, first to go to college, and I thought, I can do this. So I made it
Springs
a semester.
Or Goodrich?
Goodrich.
Okay.
Yep, class of 97. And I made it a semester, and I ran out of money.
Yeah.
And so sat next to a guy and just started talking, and he said, I'm in the Army Guard. And I said, you are? And he goes, they pay for everything.
Right.
Pay for my college. I get a little bit spending money. And I said, I'm going to do it. So I left after my first semester, went down to Alabama and Fort McClellan and did my basic training in AIT for military police. That's what I was going to school for criminal justice. So
my brother
back.
Was an MP.
Yeah.
And then he became county sheriff.
And that was my track here. So I actually worked for Winnebago County, the sheriff's office. So it was great. It was kind of the best of both worlds. You went to college. I went to Fort McCoy 1 2-week AIT. Right. Other than that, we went to Nicaragua, Dominican Republic. We did humanitarian relief missions. So I thought, this is awesome. And I'm getting college paid for
AIT, advanced infantry training?
Advanced individual training. Individual so that training. Was MP school. Yep.
That's awesome.
All right. I think that's a point worth talking about. That look, you missed your family, you missed Oshkosh, but I mean, you'd do it again?
Oh, in a heartbeat. One of the best things about America is it is the land of opportunity.
Right.
If you're willing to
right.
go down that road.
I agree.
It's not the easiest path. Same thing with law school. If this was 20 years, 30 years before, there was no opportunity. Just based on my LSAT scores, there wasn't many law schools.
Did you take an ACT?
I did.
What'd you get?
I didn't do very well.
Come on, what'd you get?
I got like a 19. And I remember Oshkosh telling me I'd have a hard time making a C average, and I graduated with an A.
Hey, it sounds like Nate Bargatze, the comedian. He goes, I had a 17, and the person was, do you even go to school?
But you sat for the law exam, because if you go to Madison, you don't have to. But you had so you went to Michigan.
I went out of state. So land of opportunity. So there's business to be made in higher education. So you have more law schools. They let more people in. So I went to Thomas Cooley Law School in Lansing. Mm-hmm. So one of the lower tiers, but they give you an opportunity. So big front door, hold you to the same standard, smaller back door.
I can name three really, mm-hmm. really successful attorneys that all went there.
Yep. Yeah. And nobody asked once you get done.
I was just going to say, my kid was in medical school. It's like, what do they call the dumbest kid in the class? Doctor.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's what you do once you get the degree.
Exactly. And the ones that are able to go to Madison and Marquette, that's awesome. And you don't have to take the bar exam and that stress. That's great. But I always say to them, at least I took the bar exam.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rite of passage.
Absolutely.
It is. That's great. How's law? There are, I will say about lawyers, I know some, there are a lot, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of doctors, and they control, I mean, that's one of the reasons, but with lawyers, I mean, it's tough to be a lawyer. I took that LSAT, and that's why I'm sitting here on the radio.
there's a school for you.
But I did higher than you on the SAT, though. I just want to say that. But anyway,
not much.
That is true, too. That's
one
true,
point.
Too. That's true, too. So, why did you get into law? Is it because of that military police, or did you see something that was a niche?
Yeah.
And just to follow up, you could have stayed in the military and a JAG officer, right?
Could have done that. I was getting my education at the same time, which worked out great. I find that sometimes what's enticing to people to go into the military is you get your education, but you grow up a lot in the military. It's hard to come back with your experiences and now go to UW Oshkosh or some campus. You're so far ahead of everybody with your life skills. It's got to be very difficult. So I'm glad that I was able to do it at the same time.
If I was going to follow up exactly on that, what Jim was saying, and you said you weren't a great student, probably didn't take it as serious, but the discipline and some of the things you learned in the military, if you hadn't gotten into the military to develop some of those skills, do you think you still would have flown your way right through law school and everything?
No, okay. Because that you'd have to be structured. So
exactly.
When my wife went to work, I got on a bus and I went to school and sat in the library. So we kind of had the same schedules. Wow. So it was that discipline. You treated it like
exactly.
a job. So with going back to your question though, I find that there's a lack of attorneys. I don't know where they are. This is a great community, great area, this Fox Valley. I don't know where they are.
I was talking national, but
national.
That could be true.
And
here.
There is, I know the Supreme Court set up a commission to look at where the attorneys are.
Well, they're
really? I didn't realize that.
You know where they are? They're golfing. They're retired. If they do it right, you mm-hmm. can retire at probably a little younger age than some of the rest of us.
Sure.
But God bless you for what you do, because you can really save someone's life. I know, and I mean that really more. People don't know what to do, and mm-hmm. the system is quite complicated.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
In contract law, was that your focus, or where were you at?
Whatever comes easy. I never thought I would do real estate and creating businesses and selling businesses and estate planning, but it comes easy. So I learned not to fight it. So this might sound really cool to go and do this stuff, but if it didn't come naturally, then why go at it? So take what came.
Yeah.
And this kind of came kind of naturally, so go with it.
I give you credit because we're both, Jim and I are both in real estate, and the times I had to deal with a real estate attorney to figure out some, that's a quagmire, some of those things when you're dealing with real estate, isn't it?
It can be, but it's like playing the piano. I mean, the more you do it, the better you are, and I like to find people that, yeah, I mean, you could probably practice any, well, you can practice any type of law. But you know, you find your niches, and that's what people look for because it's quicker. It's actually, at the end of the day, it's mm-hmm. less expensive because you don't have to go research at all.
In the more that you do a particular area of law, you learn that the less. I thought I knew more about law before I was an attorney, because then you know more about that area of law.
Sure,
you're almost less confident when someone asks you, like, "Hey, can I?" Well, that's, you can do that, but if you know this, they're like, "Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about." Oh, okay,
that's all. The diploma, sister.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about your presence here. You stayed in Oshkosh. I think that's
awesome.
That's a statement.
We came back. So
Jim's main thing with Green Bay gets really ticked off about is the brain loss. No, what's the term you use?
Drain.
Brain drain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we keep continually get voted, and as does Oshkosh, for great amenities, low crime. Your money goes a little bit further. And I understand people leaving. You left Oshkosh. I mean, I don't mind with that, but you know, you came back, and I think we met with a lady here from the chamber who is going to Florida, and I hope she comes back too. But what made you stay here in Oshkosh?
Yeah, so my wife is from Dubuque, Iowa, but we both met at UW Oshkosh. And when we moved away for a while, we just kind of thought, where are our families? And
right.
We had our son when we were in Lansing, and that really was our family unit.
Right.
And we kind of looked and said, you know, Oshkosh was a really great place for us where we met and lived.
We love it.
And we came back here, and we have just an amazing family. We have four kids. I've got this awesome shanty that you guys would love.
Ice shanty?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Sturgeon spearing, ice fishing.
You've been a little presumptuous with me, but Johnny would love it.
Love it.
Out of where?
Oh.
What landing?
I'll take it off of Merritt. We'll go off of, we live off of, like, sand pit in 21.
Okay.
Go down.
Okay, I've got an idea. What about a morning show from the shanty?
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
I've got a TV, Blackstone. Absolutely. I'll make breakfast.
Done. I'm in.
I'll listen in.
I'm in.
Hey, so law practice, there's a lot of areas you can go into. And you said, if I'm going to want to come to you, give me the umbrella of your specialty. And you said whatever comes, but, I mean, there's got to be things you're more comfortable with than others.
Yeah, so if you came, pretty much... the criminal law, the family law, that's not in my wheelhouse. That's something that I just don't do.
You would refer that to?
I would refer that to my network that I have.
All right. But we got to start a real quick break.
Because I want to hear about when you're going to be judged, so I want to get back to that.
Oh never. Never.
He's a silent of a career planner.
I've got bills to pay.
Nate Olson, also Legal Group, Veteran Salute sponsor. We are in Oshkosh, back with more with Nate right after this. Maybe I did.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming away from Oshkosh today in beautiful facility here at WISS in beautiful downtown Oshkosh, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, and of course WGBW in Green Bay. We're with Nate Olson. Nate, you're just even talking during the break here, fascinating. I mean, you're an attorney here, you're a sponsor of our veteran segment, and you deal with a lot of veterans. We're talking off air about some of the things that some of these young vets could really have a little, if nothing else, some advice on. Because here's the deal, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're in the military, boy, you know exactly when the mess hall's open. You're told where you got to be at pretty much every hour of the day. And sometimes some of these younger veterans come back and they don't have that structure and maybe lose their way a little bit. And it seems like you're the kind of guy that would be great to talk to some of these young vets and tell them about the world outside of the military. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. For me, it almost had the... opposite effect. When I got out, I knew that was the last time someone was going to tell me when to get up.
Okay, so you're prepared.
And that's why I knew that probably my life path was going to be working for myself at the same time. Now, if I worked for somebody else, I still was going to perform and do what I had, but I wanted to be on my own.
Got
and,
it.
And have that discipline.
And you needed to learn that discipline.
100%.
See, I was, these guys have heard this, but I was in ROTC, but I didn't want someone to tell me what to do. You know, I don't know if I got that discipline from my dad, but what I think is really cool about your story, the fact that you're here in Oshkosh and you're a successful lawyer, is the fact that you are a lawyer through the military. I think sometimes people look at that and it's, and look, all jobs are great, but I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, you put you through law school is not inexpensive.
Yeah, no, if it wasn't for, well, there was some things. Obviously, the military paid for my undergrad, but when I was overseas in Baghdad, I was wounded. So that kicked in. I knew I couldn't go back to
right.
law enforcement. So I had some little paralysis in my fingers here. So I applied to law school from Baghdad, so my wife's help.
Wow.
It's a funny story.
What's this guy's address again?
Yeah.
I would. It was all by paper then. So I would put these Iraqi dinars with Saddam's face on it in the application process, thinking this is going to get me to the top of the list. Someone's going to open it.
Those little dollar bills. Yeah. Yeah. This. It looks like Monopoly money.
Yeah. So I would send them. And I remember getting a letter back from Ohio Northern University. And it was a letter saying that they didn't recognize this currency as a valid down payment. And I go, they didn't even read the letter.
Right,
they just
didn't.
Saw money, put it over here. And I go, so.
How, can I ask how you were wounded, Nate?
Yeah, I it was a roadside bomb in an early morning in Baghdad. So we had just wrong place, wrong time, and we just got lit up. It was a remote garage starter, garage opener that they removed a piece of curb and put something behind it. And
you know, I actually went on a RSC mission when I was there. And what that means is route security enforcement. And these guys were almost like scouts would go. I'm not telling you anything, just for the. And they would say we have to look to see if something was moved a little bit, because they would drive a lot of the same routes on a regular basis. So in their mind, they knew, and they would look for the slightest thing out of place. And that's the way the terrorists, whatever you want to call it, the Hajis, whoever, that's what they did, didn't they?
That was hard when we got back, because you'd drive down a street and you know you're completely safe.
Right.
But you'd see a Walmart bag in the middle of the street and you're going, I know there's nothing in there, but man, do I want to stop and just wait.
That thing gets in your mind.
Yeah,
I remember another thing when at Arif John, they gave a little indoctrination and they said, well, if you're going to be riding along, you could be another set of eyes. And if you see dead dog or dead cat or a pile of garbage, it's like everywhere you ride, there's a dead dog, there's a dead cat, there's a pile of garbage.
Yep.
But so that's why those guys that drove those roads had to be so, but they were so, just for the people to understand the people we were going against or whatever, they would have those big, trying to think, what are those big concrete barriers called?
Haskell barriers.
Had to weigh tons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were times somehow those things would be moved overnight and something put under them. The people you guys were going against, they knew what they were doing too, didn't they?
Yeah. I was there obviously in the beginning in 2003. So I only have my experience from 03 to, 04.
Right.
It was a lack of, we didn't speak the language.
Right.
We didn't understand the culture.
Right.
So there was a lot of things that hopefully were corrected.
Right down the road.
Down the road. But yeah, that was the frustrating aspect of it. You know, you think you're going to see an enemy and they're going to have a uniform.
They're going to wear a Nazi uniform on or a Japanese uniform, and it's the same person that running a shop.
Yeah.
Could be the same guy that's laying that bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So Olson Legal Group, you're here in Oshkosh, and I think Oshkosh, when I think of Oshkosh, I think of a lot of good thoughts come to me, but Oshkosh Truck, you got to feel a little bit good that they were a partner with you while
Great
you were
point.
There as well.
Yeah, I know. A bond.
A bond.
Like you have a little connection. I don't know. I've never been to Oshkosh Corp. I mean, I see all the trucks in town, but you do have a bond with it because just that military connection.
Right, and that's awesome. You just moved your new office? Tell us about that.
I think
did you walk here?
No, I could have before. So for 15 years, I was on Algoma, right? On 146 Algoma, right by like Kitts and File, Christine Ann Center, right across the street. And now we just moved to the old firehouse on New York and Maine. So
it was an actual firehouse?
Oh, it's awesome.
Jim, what's my dream? What's my dream?
What day is it?
Yeah.
But live in a barn. I don't know what it is. But
A church or a firehouse? I've always said that.
I always said the same thing. I was in the Army, and I said, should have been in the Air Force. I was in the law enforcement, and I said, should have been a firefighter.
Yeah.
Now I got a firehouse.
Nice.
And you restored that. Or the, yes. the developer did.
Yeah, Terry Labe from Labe Restoration, he restored it. And then we rented to Blue Door Consulting had it, and then United Way. And then when they moved out, we redid the commercial area.
Yeah. Did you keep the pole?
I have them yet, but they are not installed.
Oh,
so. We'll install them here in the studio, John.
Yeah, yeah. I know my wife's listening, but I didn't bring them home.
Do you ever?
Yeah, I was just going to say this.
Hey, we looked at a Sicilian girl I know that knew her way around the pole. Yeah. I'm just saying.
We were looking at houses in Green Bay when we first moved back there, and one of the Packer players had a pole in his house. I mean, that's just do they do that?
Aspiring firemen, I'm sure.
It's a good workout. Those girls are athletic, Jim. Yes. Give them credit.
All right.
Nate, it's so wonderful having you as a sponsor for our veteran spotlight.
Thank you.
Hey, how much time do we have, Todd?
1 minute.
We got 1 minute. Can you tell the story about the amputee friend?
Oh, yeah. I was explaining that when I had gotten back, I had to get some work done on my hand. And it would require some surgery. And I thought, do I really want to do this? So I sat and I waited next to another veteran. And I was striking up a conversation, and he's in a wheelchair, and he is a double amputee. And I asked him, what did you do this weekend? And he was just so happy and telling me he was in Milwaukee, and he was part of this almost an Olympic thing that they had, and he went bowling, and he finished second. And I thought, oh my gosh, they want to spend time to do this on my hand, and this guy doesn't have legs? I'm like, I didn't do it. So to this day, I haven't done it.
That's awesome, man.
I think you have. So.
Nate Olson, can't thank you enough. Olson Legal Group, Veteran Salute sponsor. Thank you, my friend. I don't care if it's cheesy or not. Thank you for your amazing service.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You bet. Quick break. Back right after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin will now have an Office of Violence Prevention. Governor Tony Evers signed an executive order about a month after the shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School. It all started with a pretty packed press conference yesterday, attended by advocates, police officers, lawmakers, and even students. Many of them wore orange, the color often used to raise awareness of gun violence.
Our statewide Office of Violence Prevention efforts will include connecting the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to violence prevention. Supporting and providing technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts, developing public education campaigns to promote safer communities, and identifying opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws.
The office will start with $10 million. That money will come from leftover funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. A lot of that money will go into grants for local communities doing the work to keep people safer. Then Governor Evers says he'll include ongoing funding for the office and gun violence reform in the state budget. But of course, anything in the budget will need agreement from Republican lawmakers who control the legislature. The Southern Door County School District has decided it will not ask voters to approve a referendum on the April 1st ballot. A press release from the school district said surveys showed limited support for a referendum, especially among non-staff and non-parent respondents. The school district may revisit the idea of a referendum for the 2026 April ballot, as the current operational referendum will expire in June of 2026. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Very special thanks to Nathan Olson, Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group. He is a sponsor for a Veteran Salute segment that we're doing every week. Purple Heart recipient from Iraq. All the appreciation in the world for what he's done for our country, for our community, and what he's doing right now to help bring to light some of our veteran stories. Very, very excited about working with him down the road. And man, I can't wait. I want to see his office. I mean, Jim, I've been on you about trying to cut through some red tape or whatever to get me that one fire station they're closing in Green Bay.
Yeah,
you have failed miserably.
John, I don't think you got it for free.
I was hoping it'd be condemned.
I could just walk in. Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Jeff Ehrke is now joining us. This is exciting. Pickles and Bags. How old must people think we are? Well, you're so damn young that you're starting up something like this. Well, I'm 47.
45. And you look like you're 25, and that's going to pay big dividends someday for you. Actually, it is right now.
Thank you. Jeff Ehrke, welcome.
Thanks, fellas.
Pickle and Bags is the name of your company.
You're an entrepreneur.
Your establishment.
You're a confident entrepreneur.
Oh, and I don't know about that. But.
Some days.
Some days, right?
Some days, yes.
Tell me, tell our listeners a little bit about your business. You caught a wave that was going on, started, you know, four or five years ago? It
exploded, year of COVID.
Right.
A lot of people got into it.
Yes. So go ahead, tell us about your business.
Well, I started playing in 2020. My other business had been, we had to shut down the doors. I own a fitness facility here in Oshkosh. And during that time, I just had nothing to do. We were doing a couple online, classes and stuff. But a buddy of mine said, hey, let's hit this pickleball thing around. And next thing I know, I'm addicted and been playing since. It was a huge... mental, I don't know, I'd call savior during that time. It just gave me something to look forward to every day. And
which is important because I've read where there are people that are still almost like post-traumatic stress from that year or two that they're still recovering from it because they didn't do something like you to focus on.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, we all know that year was tough for everybody, right? So it really gave me something to, like I said, look forward to. And I thought as I got more and more into it, it's like, man, we need something in Oshkosh during, you know, the cold months, which is probably about 10 months out of the year, it seems like anyways, where people can, you know, play indoors. And I looked for about a year just because it's hard to find the right spot unless you can just build brand new, which is it's challenging. So found a place and took about 9 months to a year to get how we needed it to open up. And then we opened up in November of 2023. And we're just over a year in and here we are.
That's awesome.
Congrats to you. That's great. So you found a place. Tell me about the interior. It's pickleball courts, 2, 4, 6. What do you have there?
We have 4 courts and a bar, so got to throw that out there.
Of course you got to have that.
That's Wisconsin.
I know. I wasn't even going to ask that. So
Sure.
So, all right. I didn't ask if you had a bathroom, so I'm not going to ask if you have a bar. I just took that for granted. Anyway, all right, so you got the 4 courts. What was it? How does the court time get scheduled?
Good question. The way the facility is built is you can actually get a court around the clock. You could actually book a court at 3 a.m. if you wanted.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
And there's a...
Is the bar open at 3 a.m.?
The bar is not open at 3 a.m.
At least for this broadcast. Yeah, right.
You know, I would love to joke about that, but then I'd have people showing up.
Serious.
Let's go to Pickle and Bags at 3 a.m. It's still open. So basically you can go onto our app. It's a court reserve app, and you schedule your court. You get an access code to a separate door that allows you to get into the facility.
That's awesome.
Fantastic idea.
The code activates 20 minutes prior to your reservation. You come in, you play, you have a great time, and when you're done, you leave.
What a great idea.
Wow. It's going to get competitive someday, right? And you've got some pretty cool things right off the bat.
Man, I really like you guys. Great ideas. This is awesome.
Oh, he's all over entrepreneurs. Trust me. This is his wheelhouse. Yeah.
How did the funding go? Was Oshkosh good to you or the SBA or did you have the money?
Honestly, it was saved money from
good for you.
You know, years. And I just, it was something that I was really passionate about. Yeah. And I went for it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, pickleball is one of those sports that I've never seen that. I can't think of a sport in the United States that I've ever seen go from hey, what's that? That sounds like a good idea to ESPN, possible Olympic sports. In the shortest amount of time, this sport has exploded in our country, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has exploded. Fastest growing sport in the country. Wow. And it's still on the upward tick, you know. Ooh. I mean, it's
why is it the fastest growing sport?
I believe it's because anybody can play it.
Right.
You know, there's different levels, there's different age groups. You can I always kick myself because I never got into golf. And I was always a very competitive person all through high school, all through college, played sports. And it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I can only play, you know, beer league softball for so long or rec basketball. Obviously, after college, you can't really find anywhere to play football or anything like that. So if you don't play golf, there's really not much that you can be competitive into your 40s, 50s, 60s.
And that's a tough
60s.
Sport to pick up late.
Very, very, and very time consuming.
And expensive.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And, you know, once again, hard to do year round. So I was very fortunate to find a sport that kind of scratches that competitive itch, which is pickleball.
And I think the other reason, you know, you talk about any age and you don't have to be an elite athlete to play it. I mean, I play it, right? So you don't have to be a great, great athlete.
Wait a minute.
And
you play pickleball?
I played pickleball before.
Did you know that, John?
I've never heard that uttered before
just
in my life.
Before, I just tell, look, I'm going to tell you, Jeff. I played pickleball in Cancun, and then we came back and COVID started. So I played it. I was ahead of the game.
Oh, so you're the reason for all that.
I did. Well,
he's the reason for a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to say
leading edge on sports. My name is Jim.
The fact that anybody can play it, but it's also not an expensive the equipment.
Yeah, you're right.
You look at golf.
Well, hockey. For a while, the hardest part was finding a court.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It still is.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting to the point where even outdoors, people are having to, it's called stack your paddles. So it's kind of like if you can imagine playing pool where somebody goes and puts the quarters up on the pool table. You know, you wait for the next game. Well, that's kind of what's happening with these outdoor, you know, pickleball.
Can I tell you that's the only time I almost saw my dad physically get in a fight?
Pool?
Yeah. Because we used to stop at this bar after fishing and we're playing pool in this little, it's a cinder block bar out in the middle of no place in the UP, Redneck. And we're playing, and a guy puts a quarter down. And we're playing, and he goes, oh, okay, 1-1, next match. And the guy goes, oh, that's our table. My dad goes, what do you mean? He goes, we put our quarter down. He goes, well, I don't give a, well, I guess if you put a quarter down, that means it's our game. He goes, yeah, you can have it as soon as we're done. And we get, and I thought, oh, my God, my dad's going to get in a fight with a guy like 40 years younger than him. I thought, okay, that's cool.
So
how do
we
defuse this? Yeah. My dad. But anyway, one of the things is you walk. Drive past a, you know, you got beautiful parks in Green Bay, Jim. I know you were big into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they're not used as much as they should be. You know what I mean? I mean, as far as like the tennis courts, the basketball courts and stuff like that. But the ones that have now turned those into pickleball courts, yeah, they're loaded.
That's why. And that's why. I mean, you do a study and you're like,
that's what I mean.
Used once a week. It's like, okay, we got to do something.
But the pickleball courts that they've converted are really, really popular.
And I think, you got to take a little chill, too. I mean, some people get a little anxious about playing and court time. I mean, it is still recreation, right?
Oh, yeah, but it gets competitive. You know, people love their pickleball. Yeah, and I mean, that's another reason why it's so popular is you have people playing for all different reasons. Some people, it's just to do something healthy.
Right.
You know, some people, you know,
do you play?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Do you fist? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You seem like you'd be competitive. You seem like a guy I would not want to play against.
No.
You got a certain glitter in your eye.
Or you'd be on my team. That's what I would. I'd get you on that thing. Hey, why is it called pickle in bags?
You know, I get that question a lot.
I bet.
So we also have cornhole tournaments from time to time.
Cool. All right.
We clear the courts, we bring out the boards, and that's another, you know, very popular.
That's like almost crazy popular. You know what I mean? You can't go to somebody's house without playing. And
you can't go to a high school graduation.
That's what I'm talking about. More the summer parties.
And in Oshkosh, with the college here, you can't drive up and down the streets in the summer without the guys out front with their red Solo cups and the
dad playing. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you've caught two pretty good waves.
Lightning in a bottle.
Let's hope so.
And the bar. I mean, there's three right there, Jim.
Right. You got the bar. It's spotted collar.
Do you have leagues and things like that? Or
yep. Leagues. Our pickleball leagues have absolutely exploded. It's kind of funny because the way we have it set up, this Court Reserve app that we use, which is used across the country, basically it allows you to opt in, as they call it, for the next week. So let's say you're in a Thursday night league, and it allows you to hit the opt-in button a week in advance, exactly 1 week in advance.
Oh, so people are sitting there?
This is literally so sit there.
Our league filled up. One of the girls I know in the league, she actually timed it the other day. In 32 seconds, it filled up for the following week.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, are you on
to
something.
You must think of building more courts.
I was just going to say franchise in Green Bay.
Yeah, I know, right? Slow down on that. It's self-discipline.
Don't overextend.
Make a little bit more money.
But you know the thing that I don't think why pickleball will go away? I mean, I remember during the tennis surge in like the 80s. Remember that was like the big, well, even like pro tennis was so big then. Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe and Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert and Jimmy Kahn. I mean, they were, you know, the cover of Sports Illustrated all the time. Now, no disrespect, but I couldn't name you three pro tennis players in the world. I really couldn't. But your sport, tennis is hard. I mean, standing that far away and trying to do whatever, that's another one for years and years. But your sport, it doesn't matter what level you might be at, you can still play it without failing.
Yeah.
Right? And it just doesn't matter how good you want to get.
Yeah, and actually, the lower the level, the more people there are that play it.
Sure.
I believe it.
And so, you know pickleball. Remember in school, we had to learn James Naismith, right? He's the founder of basketball. Did somebody found pickleball? Is there a name associated with pickleball?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I just don't know it.
We didn't tell him he was going to be playing Jeopardy on the show.
Well, can I tell you a very unique James Naismith story?
I just remember learning that, studying that. Yeah,
invented the game of basketball?
Yeah.
He had the worst record as a head coach at the University of Kansas in basketball of anybody that's ever been in history. And he invented the game. How's that for a trivia?
They changed the rules on them.
Exactly. So this is good stuff. We're going to send it to a break.
Okay.
Go ahead and reset yourself. Reset yourself there, my friend.
Sounds good.
Jeff Ericke, Pickles and Pickle and Bags. We'll talk more about that as soon as we come back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're downtown with Jeff Ericke from Oshkosh. Great thing, Pickle and Bags, and you've explained it all now. Obviously, pickleball.
Yep.
And cornhole with the bags game, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And we were just talking about how much this game has exploded, but what type of people, what type of athlete, what type of person seems to pick this game up the quickest?
Tennis players have a definite advantage. Anybody who has played a paddle sport, a racket sport, they have that hand-eye coordination, those, you know, the paddle control just from, you know, all the years that they play these other sports.
Right.
So that definitely helps. With that being said, some of the best players I've ever met didn't play any of those. They were just, you know, athletic.
And you don't have to be either one of those. You even have lessons for people that, I mean, people need to get out and exercise. We talk about that a lot on the show. We don't live it, but we talk about it a lot. And I, the people who come, do they?
Why does he have to say we don't live? Why does he have to point towards me?
Well,
he's got a personal trainer. Said,
right.
It's not working, Jeff, though. So tell me about the lessons. If somebody said, you know, two ladies that.
Yep.
Instead of the book club, we're going to pick up pickleball.
Yeah. I mean, we do, you know, individual lessons. We do group lessons. We do, for example, just last week, we decided it was kind of a last minute thing. I told he's my right-hand man. I was like, hey, let's do this intro to pickleball. We threw it out there on a Tuesday. I said, let's do it Saturday night right before our open play, because most Saturday nights we have open play from like 6 to 10. And if you're a non-member, it's only $10. You come, you play all night. It's great. So I said, let's do this intro to pickleball, you know, for an hour before. Within 48 hours, we had over 25 people.
Yeah, that's awesome, right?
You know, and it was great. It was awesome. And most of these people, you know, they had heard about it. It's something they'd wanted to do. They just hadn't pulled the trigger, and it was a perfect opportunity for them to come and learn.
So we talk about hand-eye coordination. Do you give lessons on cornhole, or is that just obvious?
No, well, that is not my sport. That's not something you want to be asking me for advice on. That's so there's an organization here in town that, they run all these cornhole tournaments, and we just let them have our space. They do their thing. They're, good guys. They do a great job, and they just run those tournaments.
And they, too, have no problem really getting clientele. I just, when you go to these things, it's like unbelievable how everybody plays that. I don't really like that game because I think it's weird because I think I'm better than a lot of people, and yet they beat me.
You know, it's crazy how many times I've sat there and watched, or I've been at the facility and when these tournaments are going on. And it's a sport where you don't think there's much strategy. It's like, oh, just throw it in the hole, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, some of the things these guys can do with that.
Oh, all right.
With that bag, it's you learn, you know. Okay. But that also has a very recreational level, and then all the way to a high level. So it just depends on.
So what's next? I mean, pickleball. I would think that's going to be around for a while. I don't think it's a fad, right? Would you agree?
I would agree. Let's hope so.
So you're in Oshkosh. You're looking at franchising this? You're going to go to Green Bay? Are you going to expand in Oshkosh? Are you just going to stay where you are for a little while? You're the entrepreneur.
Well, I would like to get this this facility here in town exploding first, to the point where, winters right now are great. It's just the summer that can be challenging.
Well, get the outdoor court, man.
Yep. It's playing outdoors. It's Wisconsin, so we don't always have nice weather, so
right.
People like to get outside. It's also free, so people enjoy that part of it too.
Right.
So getting the place to the point where, we drive enough business in the cold months to support the warm months.
Right.
So if we got to that point and another opportunity opened up in another local city,
that's awesome.
Let's do it.
Congratulations.
Right. Big time.
I mean, I don't know what exactly you're doing, and I know you found the right niche, but man, you're doing it right when you fill up something like that in minutes. I mean, that's fantastic.
32 seconds or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty quick. That means you're onto something. Well, of course, you know that. You've been smiling since you walked in the door, so I got to think you're making money.
You guys are great. I'm smiling because of you guys.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, if you bought us a couple of bloodies, you would see us smile.
We'll come and play a game.
Tell you that right now.
Yeah. Hey, oh, my God. If I get you guys to get down there and actually play a game,
we'll film that.
Oh, I'm in. It's on. It's on.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the worst you've ever known somebody to beat another person in that game? What do you play up to, 21?
11 most of the time.
11?
Yeah. So okay. when you lose 11 to nothing.
Is it three sets or whatever? Is it three?
Like in tournaments, it's best of three. But if you're playing recreation, a lot of times it's 2-11, then you mix up partners.
Can you make a quick prediction? 11-0, 11-0. Boom!
That's called being pickled.
He's going to be pickled.
Is that why it's called being pickled?
What? Yeah. Can I be honest with you?
I didn't know that.
I'm going to the bar and getting pickled at your place.
Now, that's what I thought it was. That's what I thought it was. Well, this is great, Jeff. And you're a good example to other youth, just other people. It doesn't have to be youth. But, this entrepreneurial spirit, Wisconsin lost a little of that. I mean, 8-10 years ago, we were like the last of entrepreneurs. And now it's picking up a little bit, thank God. And, they need – it's hard, right? It's hard work. I mean,
it's a roller coaster.
It is. Yeah.
Just like this show. So, I mean, can we get a website or a place people can check you out?
Oh, yeah. Pickleandbags.com. Otherwise, our social media is some great sites, Facebook, Instagram. Those typically get updated a lot quicker.
Sure.
One quick question for you. If people don't have the equipment, do you rent it at all or do they have to bring their own?
No, we have it. We have it. We can rent it. We have tons of paddles, tons of demo paddles, balls. Yep.
Come down there and just like, okay, like if a Jim and I, who've never played, could say, can we get a time and come down and just practice on our own?
Yep, you sure can.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool. Okay, awesome. We are filming that and putting that on the Facebook page.
Pickleandbags.com. Mr. Entrepreneur, Jeff. Yeah. I think this is great. I'm happy for you. I love seeing this. And I'm glad you found a niche and you're
And I'm setting a date for our
capitalizing.
I'm setting a date for our match.
Yeah,
ain't gonna. As soon as we both lose 20.
It ain't gonna happen. Okay. Then it will never, never happen if it's lose 20. So anyway.
Your kid will be running the place by the time we lose 20. Is there Eric, thank you so much.
You guys are great. You guys are great.
So are you. All right. Dak with Ted Stefaniak talking to Wisconsin Herd after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.